All right. For those of you who don't know this, Jake just came forward and made an important announcement to me that I feel will influence your spiritual lives in many aspects. The announcement that Jay made to me is that this week is National Pizza Week. So, I don't want you to miss out on that. See, you get fed spiritually here, but we won't go down that aisle. Welcome. Oh, it's good to be here again. It's good to see you all again. I have, and she'll probably be mad at me for doing this, but I have the privilege of having my sister here from Pennsylvania. She, wonderful woman, she has come here to help us finish getting our house ready to move in. And she's going to help paint and hopefully make some curtains for us and do a bunch of stuff. And it is an incredible privilege for me to be able to have her here. For those of you who haven't, Helen, would you be willing to stand up? I hadn't planned on going here this morning, but as I was standing here, I decided I was going to. In weeks past, I've made mention of this in part of my teaching. But when I was young, Helen and I are two of three children to a Methodist pastor and his wife, and we grew up in a very liberal household spiritually, and conservative politically, but liberal spiritually. And growing up, I struggled with many things, and one of the things I struggled with most was self-righteousness. I thought because I was a pastor's kid and because I did all the things to check all the right boxes for the church that I grew up in, that I must have a great spiritual life and I must be following God and I must be righteous. But really, I was a terrible kid. And there were times where my sisters and I got in some pretty good little battles, to the point where one day when we were asked to do the dishes, she was the oldest of the four of us. I don't know where that came from. She was the oldest of the three of us. That is no longer the case. I am now the oldest, and she is much younger than I am. But there was a time where we were asked to do the dishes, and I was just resisting the chore greatly, and she was pushing me to do my share. And I got angry, and we had these plates, and she'd be able to tell you what the kind of plate they were, but they were supposed to be unbreakable. I managed to break one over my sister's elbow because she asked me to do something, and I took the plate and swung it at her, and she put her elbow up and broke it. Anyway, one day when I was in junior high and she was in high school, I noticed that there was a change in her. I noticed that the person I knew as my sister was somehow different. And as I examined that difference, I found out that the difference came about as a result of her putting her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, there's something here. This is real. This isn't just that philosophy stuff that my dad taught in front of the church that he taught in. This was something that was real and true and alive. Because the person that I fought with now became one of my best friends. And the life that Christ was living in her shone through her so much that I desired to have it for myself. I wanted that Christ who had changed her, who had transformed her into being, from being the sister I fought with to being the sister I could admire, the person that I saw Christ in her, the hope of glory. And like I said, I wasn't planning on going here this morning. But as I was preparing for what I was going to say to you this morning, I thought, you know, it is that life in Christ which transforms us. It is the life in Christ which Paul was talking to the Colossians about, which Paul was saying, don't get sidetracked in what you're doing. Don't get sidetracked in your faith, but live for me. Paul wasn't saying live for me. Paul was saying live for Christ. And Christ was saying live for me. Live with me in the center of your life. Live with me as who you are. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so with that, I want to talk a little bit about Colossians. But I also want to bring up what happened here yesterday. Yesterday was the memorial service for Larry Adelson. And for those of you who are here, or those of you who got to hear online, it was an incredible service. And it wasn't an incredible service because I was up here leading it. It was an incredible service because of the legacy of Larry Adelson's faith. Part of the service was opened up for Larry's kids and his family to get up and speak of their memories of him. And when they got up and spoke, they didn't speak of the childhood memories of him. And that was included, but it wasn't the gist of anything that they said. The gist of all that they said was, we learned from our father the importance of his faith, the importance of who Christ was in his life. And as I sat and listened to them, thinking about what I was going to say next, I thought, you know, more than anything I could say, what Larry lived his life with faith in Christ, with Christ living through him, said more than anybody else could say about who he was. It's to this, I think, that Paul was writing to the Colossians, saying, it is this faith in Christ that you have. It is this relationship with Christ and who Christ is in your life that is the most important thing for you as a group of believers. Now watch out. Because there are those people that are going to come and try to take that away. There are those people that are going to come and try to mislead you. And that's where we find ourselves when we look into Colossians chapter 2. And I want to start, excuse me, I want to read a little bit from Colossians chapter 2 as I move into this. And my iPad is fighting with me at the moment. There we go. Chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I want you to know how hard I am contending with you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces that of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your faith, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. In having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. When we started our study in Colossians, we went through chapter 1, and in chapter 1 we see Paul establishing to the people of Colossae who he is. He starts out by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And in that he's saying, I have the authority given to me by God to come to you to present truth. Because at this time the people of Colossae were under attack. They were under attack by a group of Judaizers that wanted to come and reestablish the Jewish traditions for these believers. They wanted to say to them that Christ is not enough. It's not by faith alone, but then you need to add all these things to your faith. You need to change what you're doing and just trusting in Christ to be sufficient for meeting your needs, sufficient for washing you clean of your sins, and you need to add to it. And Paul came to them and saying, here I am, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am sent by the will of God to teach you, to explain to you that Christ is enough. So Paul starts out by setting up who he is in Christ, that he is sent by God to them. And then he explains to them who they are in Christ. You are my holy ones. He greets them by the word saints. And for those of us who were here back when Larry taught, he often said to us, God's favorite name for us as believers is saints. And if we go back and study the word saint, it literally means God's holy one. And Larry used to say, God's favorite name for us, God's favorite term for us, is my holy ones. So Paul sets himself up as, this is who I am. And then he says to the believers in Colossae, this is who you are. You are God's holy ones. And then he goes on to talk about who Christ is. And in chapter 1, he sets up who Christ is. He tells them, this is who Christ is. And then he goes back and repeats that in chapter 2. He does the very same thing in the book of Philippians, because in both cases, the people, the believers in these two churches, these two early churches, were being bombarded with philosophies that were opposed to who Christ was. And a couple weeks ago I said, the first thing that happens when a church goes away from truth, The first thing that happens when a cult is started or a false religion is started from a true faith in Christ is denying who Christ is. Is starting to slowly and subtly say, Christ isn't really who he said he in so many different ways. They are that subtle seduction that would try to lead us from the truth of who Christ is in us into trying to get us to be the center of our world instead of Christ being the center of our lives. And it is only through Christ in us that can be the hope of glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are in us. And that you used things like the people of Colossae and what they were going through to be able to not only teach them who you were, but to teach all of us who you are in us. To teach us how we can live our lives in you and how we can become closer to you through our faith and through your working in our lives. Lord, help us to remain faithful to you in the things that we do, that we might grow closer to you in all aspects of our walk, that we might understand the heart of the Father and love him more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.